By the way, a public service announcement. That's great setup for what I want to talk about tonight. As I was getting a drink before the Musar Shmooze, I saw on the water cooler a few bus tickets to Miron. So if I read the material properly. So if anybody left their bus ticket to Miron, I think it might be sitting on the water cooler. What is it about Miron? What is it about Lag BaOmer that there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people that are flocking to Kever Rashbi? It's the closest that we have to a Jewish version of a tailgate party. What's going on? What's it all about? I myself am tremendously nimshach to this. We've discussed this in the past a little bit. We'll try to review some themes, but start from a different angle and develop a different mussar as well. Question number one. If Kabbalah was so important, and it is, the sodos of Klal Yisrael, the sodos of Torah, the secrets, so why is it that the sodos were only revealed specifically in the Tkufa of Rashbi? What is it specifically about Tkufas Rashbi that necessitated the Gilui of the Torah's HaKabbalah? Secondly, what does the Medrash mean? The Medrash, and more precisely, not only the Medrash, the Zohar itself, describes the Koach of Rashbi in a very particular way. The Lashon of the Zohar is in Vayikra Daf Chav Beis Amid Beis. The Zohar says the following: "B'yomei de Rabbi Shimon, afilu tzipore shemaya marchishin chachmasa." That in the time of Rabbi Shimon, even the birds of the heavens would project chachma. In the translation of Rav Frisch, "Ki b'yom of Shor Rabbi Shimon, afilu atziporim haparchim tachas hashemayim mitzafzefim divrei chachma." They would sing the words of chachma. The words of Rabbi Shimon were known both above and below. What's the significance of Dafka the Tziporim? What does it mean that they were Mitzaftzifim Divrei Chachma? And it was known Nodoim Lamata Ulamala. Finally, there's a pasuk that we say every morning. A beautiful pasuk that always resonated so much inside of me, and I was thrilled to see that the Shem Yishmuel has a mahalich that very much relates to what always spoke in my neshama, that very much connects to Lag BaOmer. We say in the Halalukas, Tilim Kof Mem Zayin, Haroifei Lishvurei Leiv Umechabei Shlatzvoisam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu heals the heart of broken people. Mone mispar lakochavim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts the stars of the heaven, l'chulam shemos yikra. And all of them have names. That's beautiful. Harofe l'shvurei leiv, that's beautiful. L'chulam shemos yikra, that's a shtick at first glance. You know who gives them names? You know those people on commercials on television are trying to get you to buy a star. So they tell you that the star has a name and you own the star. Machashivus lechulam shemos yikra. What exactly does the pasuk mean? To understand these three disparate things, to understand the significance of the Yeridas HaKabbalah betkufas Rashbi, to understand the significance of the Tziporim being mitzaftzifim, and the significance of lechulam shemos yikra. We have to understand the tkufa of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. We have to understand the tkufa of Sfiras HaOmer. Now, obviously, these tilei tloyim, we can't do this in 10 minutes well. But just b'derech remez. Rabbi Akiva has 24,000 talmidim that pass away in this tkufa. He rebuilds, as the Gemara describes, with 5 talmidim, amongst them Rashbi. Let us, al pi chasidus, develop the metaphor of Rabbi Akiva. The metaphor of Rabbi Akiva, Leonidas Daiti, is the metaphor of Mayim. Rabbi Akiva sees water piercing through a stone. The Koach HaMayim. Torah is Nimshal Kamayim, as we've developed in the past. Rabbi Akiva represents that link of the Masorah, Yarov Kamotar Lechi, bringing the water of Torah down to Klal Yisrael. The nurture of water is incomparable to the world. That power is a power that nothing measures up to. Water, without it, there's no organism, there's no existence. And Yarov Kamatar Lechi, the water from heavens go down, and it reaches down into every part of our life. The Torah HaNigle that Rabbi Akiva gave, even though Rabbi Akiva knew Yesoda Yesodos, but what Rabbi Akiva represented was the Torah HaNigla that nurtures every part of daily life. Torah's Nimshal Kamayim, and Rabbi Akiva taught, Ma Mikve Mitares HaTmeyim, Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitares Yisrael. And that's the most popular song in Miron on Lag BaOmer. The Bechina of Mikve, Taharas HaMayim. But something awful happened. The Tairas HaNigle didn't entirely work. Somehow Rabbi Akiva's message is the Tairas HaNigle that gives, says V'ahavta Re'echa Kamocha. Rabbi Akiva ubanid that V'ahavta Re'echa Kamocha. Somehow that failed. We spoke about in Chinuch classes from Revolbi that Chinuch is like planting. And a lot of variables have to work. Water is not enough. There are other things that need to fall into place. And something happened, and somehow those Talmidim died. So Rabbi Akiva's Bechina on a certain level wasn't entirely effective at Asof. Not Rabbi Akiva's fault. Whose fault is it? What exactly does Lo Nagu Kavol Zebazet that Gemara and Yevamos describe? So Marein Rav Nevin Sal Shlita goes from Yevamos Samach Beis to Menachos Samaches. That Yehuda ben Nechemiah was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Tarfon was teaching something, and Rabosai, it sometimes happens. And Yehuda ben Nechemiah knew better than the Rabbi, Rabbi Tarfon. According to some Shittas, Rabbi Tarfon was even a Rabbi of Rabbi Akiva. And he smiled. According to that Gemara, if you read that Gemara carefully, it sounds like he's one of those 24,000 Talmidim. It sounds like he passed away Bein Pesach LaTzeres. And that, Rav Nevinzal says, is the remez that we have of what Lo Nagu Kavod Zeh B'Zeh. Maybe we could add to what our Rebbe said, that what was going on in the culture of the time, the Roman influences, the competition, the desire for competition and advancement, that was a Lo Nagu Kavod Zeh B'Zeh. And that was the failure. The Torah's Hanigla is perfect. The Torah's Hanister was supposed to be up there in Shemayim, where Soda Yisodos. They weren't supposed to be revealed to the masses. And Ulai, Reb Shimon bar Yochai introduces something else. Reb Shimon bar Yochai introduces the Torah HaEish. Mimino Yeish Dos Lomoy. Im Lav Neviim B'nei Neviim Eim. Yes, the bonfires probably started because there were a lot of people that were lighting candles by Rashbi and Miron, and eventually that's how the bonfire started. But when you look at the fire, aren't you taken aback about the power of the fire's desire to go higher and higher? Fire also has another side to it, which we spoke about in the past, that I can't be Marichan, and that is it also is very different than the nurturing power of water. Water nurtures, fire could destroy. Rashbi comes out, the Gemara in Shabbos describes, comes out of the Ma'ara, and he burns. Ultimately, his tikkun is, he recognizes the Koach HaMayim, with the hadassim that someone sees on Erev Shabbos, can't be ma'arich now and all that. So what Rashbi does is Rashbi introduces something else. Rashbi introduces the spark, and the spark of Kabbalah, a little bit of chassidus, a little bit of varnkeit, collide up a tremendous amount. And yes, water can raise something up as well. Water is what nurtures life. But Rashbi introduced, during this mindset, that there's a bechina that's higher and greater. What's this koach hasod? What is this secret? What's behind all of it? That there's something above and beyond everything that even the Torah's Hanigla reveals. And that every single one of us has this or inside of us, the or in a shechelek elokam mimal, the unique neshama of every person. And Rabbi Tarfon has his tafkid, and Yehuda ben Nechemya has his tafkid. Rabbi Neventzel pointed out that the Yerushalmi in Shvius says that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, when he came out of the cave, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai saw that there were people who were trying to trap birds. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, with his tremendous sensitivity, his tremendous ear that was up there in the heavens, saw that each one of the birds had its own destiny, whether it was to be trapped or not to be trapped. Yerushalmi Shvius Tesamid Aleph. What's the Yerushalmi bringing out? Maybe we could add that what the Yerushalmi is teaching us is that Rabbi Shimon was trying to bring into the world every single person's tafkid, every single person's unique neshama, that there's a mystery that goes above and beyond simply the Torah's Hanigla that's supposed to create the Tikkun Amidos. And it could very well be that ideally the Torah's Hanigla was supposed to do everything. But now we needed more gas. We needed a greater acceleration. We needed something that was a turbo, that was from above, that wasn't natural to Olam Hazeh. And if someone tries to turn that into his yom yomi, chas v'chalili could distort. Unfortunately, Kabbalah is destroyed, not only achieved. Teres Hanigla is never destroyed. It's only nurtured. Teres Hanister has two parts to it. Zok d'shem Yishmua. L'chulam shem ois yikra. In the metaphysics of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, which parallels very much to the world of Kabbalah, Vamevin Yavin, what we have is that every single star, it's not just a silly commercial on television, it's true. Every single star has its own name. Every single star has its own tafkid. And that's why Jews gravitate towards Rashbi. That's why they gravitate to the Teres Hanister. Because sometimes the Teres Hanigla, there was something that stopped, there was something that blocked, it just didn't work. But a spark, a little spark, Teres Hanigla is quantifiable. It's a certain amount of water, nurtures a certain amount of plant. A halacha will nurture for that moment. By the way, if a person learns with a passion, Shetiyu Amelim B'Torah, then in such a case, then he could tap into that Torah Sayish as well. But the Stam, the Torah Hanigla, if it's not going in right, so then in such a case, then there is Chas V'Chalila, the possibility that it won't speak to the Tikkun Amidos in the person. If not all the variables, if the influences of the environment aren't right, then Chas V'Chalila could fail. And that's what Rashbi brings to the Olam. That's what he brings to the world. An aspiration for higher and more, and the ability for a person to tap into just a spark. Don't try for more. You might burn yourself. But just a little bit, and a spark could create an inferno. Is it no coincidence that the Noam Elimelech, Haroif, following on the message of the Shem Yishmuel, who said that L'chulam Shemos Yikra, that there, every star has its tafkid. Is it no coincidence that the Noam Elimelech said that in our generation, the first thing that we're supposed to daven for after we finish davening is Nira Kol Echad Malas Chaveirenu? To daven, to see the special part of every single Jew? That's the key. That's the basis. Reb Simim Chabonim of Peshischa said that when Yaakov asks Yosef to look for his brother, Shalom Acheichem, it doesn't. He's not only looking whether they're well, But if they're shalem, if they're complete, to see the completeness of your brothers within Klal Yisrael, that's the meaning of the Zohar. The Zohar is alluding to two things. Number one, that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai has this tremendous koach to tap us into those mysteries of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. And also that every single bird whispers its own tafkid. Every single neshama, kal v'chomer, has its own tafkid. That's what their misrachesh, as Rav Nevensal pointed out from that Yerushalmi and Shviyas on Daftes. In Kainim Advarim, then we could take the Yisod of the Shem Yishmuel a little bit further. What is the pasuk we say in the morning beforehand? Harofei l'shvurei lev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu heals the brokenhearted. And the next pasuk is Monim Mispar l'kalchav l'chulam Shem Osikra. And here with this I conclude. The only way we could heal the broken hearts of Klal Yisrael is if we internalize the message that the Shem Yishmuel says on Amud Shin Zayin from the Medrash in Parshas V'yakel, that every single person has their own special tafkid. The broken hearts, where the Teiris HaNigla didn't reach, was because they didn't feel that Bechina that the birds attested to during the time of Rashbi. There's so much to say about the Koach HaEsh and the Koach HaMayim, the Torah HaNigla and the Torah HaNistar. But this is the Yisod that I want to leave you with tonight. The Koach of Harofe L'Shvurei Lev is the Koach to be able to see the message that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was crying out, and that is that every single person has a special Koach. The amazing story. Last week, I shared with you an amazing story, Rabbi Krohn. Usually, I look all over for stories, but the last couple of weeks, wow. I don't know, this book has really hit the spot for me, Rabbi Krohn's Reflections of the Maggid. I read another amazing story. I've had a lot of siyata d'shmai. I was looking for a story. Last week, I opened up the first page. It worked out. This week, first page, exactly the topic that I was looking for. Rabbi Krohn describes, this is quite a statement. In a way, I'm going to get your hopes up too high. He says, the following story is from the most incredible I have ever heard. So for Rabbi Krohn to say that, that's quite a statement. It's actually a simple story. Very simple story, but a very, very powerful one. He describes that there was a boy, of course, Rabbi Krohn Kedarka Kodesh, changing his name, Ben Richards, who grew up in Canarsie, grew up in a standard Orthodox home, and by nature he was a free spirit. And city life just didn't speak to him, and Orthodox life didn't speak to him. In his constant quest for truth and meaning of life, he just felt a draw to nature. Which, by the way, for many people, that's what Miron also is. He sought out wise men who had the knowledge of heavens. Yesh L'dayik, knowledge of heavens. Okay. That's what we said is the essence of Rashbi. He learned that in the higher elevations of South Dakota, there was a woman on a small reservation, the matriarch of an Indian society who had legendary foresight and insight. And he traveled to her. He said, he actually lived by her for a while, and eventually he said, I know your culture, I know your language, and I want to feel a part of your special culture. She said to him, if you are Christian, I can understand. But you are a student of the holy white rock man. Who's that? So that's Moshe Rabbeinu. V'ayo b'avor kvodi v'samticha b'nikras hatzur. And she tells him, you're not one of us. Go back to where you come from. This is a boy that's burnt. He's been burnt by the yeshiva system. He's not interested anymore. So somehow he ended up by Rav Shlomo Freifeld. He's by Rav Shlomo Freifeld. He walks into his office and he asks him, what's your story? Where you been? He starts talking to him about South Dakota. Right? Freifeld was interested in how to catch deer, how to determine the freshness of elk tracks. He was interested in the mechanics of hunting. And he was just schmoozing with him about South Dakota. The next day he came back to Rabbi Freifeld, sat in his office. They said, Rabbi Freifeld had an amazing collection of Sfarim, over 15,000 Sfarim, and he was looking at the Sfarim in Rabbi Freifeld's study. And you know, every once in a while you have a yetzer hara to do this. This guy's a free spirit. You know, every once in a while you want to walk around and not only see the rabbi's study from where you're supposed to be sitting, but see what's on the other side of his desk. So he begins to walk around. Right, Feierfeld is left. He begins to walk around, and he goes behind his desk, surrounded by thousands and thousands of svarim. And then he looks that he has taka svarim under the desk. And what are the svarim under the desk? They were books about Indian culture and reservations. That's what Rabbi Freifeld was reading, because that's what this boy needed. The footsteps of elks are avodas Hashem. It's part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's beautiful world. That's what Rashbi was driving at. Yes, the Torah HaNigla also speaks to that, but sometimes that's hard to find. Sometimes it's hard to see. The Torah HaNister says that every single netiyah of every single neshama has kedusha to it. And that Rabbi Freifeld understood. And that was a part of his study for those few weeks. Indian culture and the footprints of elks. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmaya to realize that every single one of our netiyahs have a chelek elokam imal. L'chulam sheimos yikra. Every single netiyah of a person could be used in avodas Hashem. You might not find it in Mishnah Brura. It might not be obvious to you, but it's been there from time immemorial. But the moment in which there was shviras hamidos, Rashbi came along and he saved us. He saved us with the Torah HaNister. And there's so many more things that the Torah HaNister introduces. But I don't understand half of them. Or all of them. But at least this part is something that we could appreciate. And in very, very practical terms, that means that every single one of us have to find where that spark is going to come from. In previous years, we spoke about building a passion in Avodas Hashem. But it's also realizing that every single part of our neshama is connected to something beautiful and is connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, which is Moshe Emes v'Sarasa Emes.